Quarterbacks are on the move. Matt Flynn going to Oakland. Carson Palmer going to the Cardinals. Kevin Cobb to the Bills. Pat White's even going somewhere. And Colt McCoy got traded. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Today, the podcast. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, the three of us together again.
Yay.
Hey, Dave, welcome back.
You still can't dress.
Is it
true? That's ridiculous.
Is this true that you spent part of last week's podcast talking about your clothes?
Well, no, we really spent part of last week's podcast talking about football.
Adam, I leave for one week
and this is what happens?
You'll appreciate this. Adam bought a shirt
that everyone likes
that rivals the cowboy shirt.
Uh-huh.
It's almost as bad as that.
I'll wear it.
What did it look like?
It was like almost like
a bad button
similar pattern,
shirt.
But he had like two buttons. Like
similar pattern at all.
You'll see. It's like so horrendous.
Worse than the roadmap.
Huh?
The cowboy roadmap.
Nah, it's not worse than that.
It's on par.
Everybody liked it.
It's on par.
You've got a shirt that's got like a bunch of highways on it.
Yeah, it's on
that
par.
That crisscross.
Yeah, that's a bad shirt.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
This is on par.
You can actually see that shirt if you Google Adam's name and go to Google Images.
That shirt actually looks really good with a sweater.
You know
top.
Where it looks really good? In a grease fire. That's where it looks really good.
How was your vacation?
Oh, it was excellent. Had a great time. Went down to Galveston, Texas. Spent some time with the family.
Wow.
I get off the plane and my dad starts peppering me with football questions.
That's is this great. A busy time?
So,
for
what are the Texans going to do this year?
Is this a busy time for Galveston, Texas?
Yeah, it's spring break time, so... Is that
like a podunk town or is it okay?
It's, you know, the beach. It's
oh, really?
The beach for Houston.
Oh, I didn't realize
yeah,
that. I was making fun
all
of
the
I'm
Houston.
Sorry.
Yeah, idiot. Houstonians you just drive 40 minutes south and they're there.
No, we went to like Paris.
Oh, that's true.
All right, so we have plenty of news and notes to talk about. Got your tweets on Twitter, which is very interesting these days because I lost,
oh, yeah, that's right.
I lost 28,000 followers in one night.
Man.
Somehow.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Down to 30 now.
Somebody forgot to recharge their credit card on the followers yeah. they bought you.
I have no idea what's going on. Yeah. And we got your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
So how many do you have now?
About 30,000.
Okay.
Yesterday, 58,000. Nice. I hope it goes down to my actual number, which I'm guessing is around 7,000. Guessing. Anyway, you can follow us on Twitter, @DaveRichard.
I remember when you were dying for 3,000.
Yeah. I had to buy you lunch. @Jamie Eisenberg.
That's why I remember.
Jamey. @AdamAzer, AIZER. @CBSFantasyFB. And
CBS.
Again, that. What?
Just spelling CBS.
It's CBS, yeah. And again, that email address is fantasyfootball@CBSI.com. Please put podcast in the subject line.
Dave, we're still going to go once a week, obviously, until the regular season. At what week do you think that Adam starts to butcher the email address while he's doing baseball and football back and forth?
Oh, I mean, I would imagine that would be happening now.
No, that's what I'm saying. He did it
I'm surprised they did
seamless
yeah.
today.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just wondering at what point it's going to happen.
It's going to happen probably now that he's getting hyped up for the draft and all that. He'll be focused on football. So probably like two podcasts after the draft when we get into mid-May. That's when you'll start screwing things up again.
Well, if you are a fantasy baseball player, you can listen to our podcast. You can also watch our live video show, noon Eastern, Monday through Friday. It's very interactive. We take your emails. We take your calls, your tweets. Yes, your calls. You can call in. So that's Fantasy Baseball Today, live noon Eastern
on
our website.
That's cool.
877-627-9777.
Now, is that number 24 hours a day or just during the show?
Just during the show.
What happens if you call that number, say, 8 o'clock at night?
People can't leave messages.
I will answer and tell you to call back the next day.
You'll answer?
No.
That's kind of cool if you answer.
Not going to be me. but if you don't have a working 7 on your phone, don't call in.
Is there a voicemail on that number?
Jamie, I don't know. Can we please just get to the show, for goodness sake?
Jamie wants to do everything but talk about football for
Jamie
some
just
reason.
Likes to mess with me. Matt Flynn.
I do have a question for you. I'll save it for the end.
I know what it's going to be about, so just...
What's it going to be about?
Well, just whatever. I'll get mad at you in 20, 30 minutes.
No, it's actually a legitimate question.
All right. Quarterback Matt Flynn like to the this. Raiders for a 2014 fifth-round pick and a conditional 2015.
He's going
to
be a great backup pick. Quarterback again.
You who, really
Terrell
think
Pryor?
So?
I would start Terrell Pryor over him.
Why?
Because I think he's better.
Wow. And listen, I'm not saying that Matt Flynn is the greatest quarterback.
You saw the report from the Packers
ever
last week?
Which one?
That they didn't think that he had the arm to be a starting caliber quarterback.
That's why he was a backup in Green Bay.
Exactly. Which is why they let him go and why Seattle obviously proved that he wasn't going to start for them.
I think it's an indictment on Terrell Pryor that they brought
him
in.
Well, they needed somebody.
And that they restructured his deal and didn't they guarantee his contract
this year? Well, I mean, you look at Matt Flynn. He got paid a boatload of money to go to Seattle. And how'd that work out for him?
Yeah.
But they're still paying him a lot of money. Why would they bring him in to be a backup?
Jamie's saying they don't know that he's the backup yet and that a camp competition will play out between
I just think Terrell Pryor. I'm keeping, as of now, Terrell Pryor's ahead of Matt Flynn in my rankings, and I'm very comfortable if I was in a deep league to take Terrell Pryor over Matt Flynn. If I was in a two-quarterback league and needed a third
right.
quarterback,
you're
I
talking
would take Pryor.
Mid to late-round pick yeah. in a two-QB
no, late
league.
Pick. Late-round pick.
In a two-QB league.
Yeah. Right, not in a one-QB league.
Yeah, of course.
If you take a Raiders quarterback in a one-QB league, you're
so I'm crazy to think that Matt Flynn has some potential.
I just don't yeah. see it. I just don't see it. You know, I think you look at what Oakland's quarterback situation. First of all, let's make this clear. Terrell Pryor's potential as a starting NFL quarterback notwithstanding. The Raiders make dumb moves. This was a dumb move. You know, they didn't.
No, wait. I want to give the Raiders the benefit of the doubt under a new regime.
No.
This is not the old Raiders.
Name one good move the new regime has made.
Yeah, this is a dumb move. They're completely
there
trying
probably
to,
is one.
Yeah,
I just
I don't know.
If I had a working
trading
computer,
Carson
probably,
Palmer. Getting rid of him was a good move.
Yeah, but they were going to have to get rid of him either way.
Yeah, but this but is a different regime. That's what I'm saying. I'm not familiar with their drafts off the top of my head.
Well, last year
Orlando McClain.
That was the you again.
That, which regime?
Old that one? Was Al Davis.
Yeah.
He looks good. Draft him.
I feel like they've added some decent pieces defensively through the draft.
They've been all right. But it's still, it's such a bad
Dennis
situation.
Allen said at the NFL owners.
You know what was a great move? They signed Rod Streeter.
Fine.
As an undrafted free agent. They discovered him, played his way through camp. I think Jerron Kreiner has some potential. That was a receiver that they drafted.
Sure.
But both these guys are both, the head coach and the general manager are both somewhat familiar with Matt Flynn.
Agreed.
Right?
The general manager, for sure.
Yeah. And then I think Bruce Allen was his position coach somewhere, or offensive
Bruce
coordinator.
Bruce Allen is the GM of the Redskins.
Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen is the head coach of the.
Am I wrong about that? Do we know Dennis Allen's connection to Matt Flynn?
Well, he was a defensive guy, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's any connection.
Maybe Bruce
there.
Allen's got a connection to him.
Maybe. I'm going to look into this.
What about Woody Allen?
Because I know it exists. All right. What did you say that Dennis
Tim
Allen
Allen's
said at
good,
the coaches at the owners' meeting?
Dennis Allen, you know, he said, we inherited a mess, and they're trying to clean up the mess.
Okay.
You know, from a cap standpoint, which is why Carson Palmer's gone, which is why Richard Seymour's not coming back, which is why Darius Heyward Bey is gone, you know, and Allen said specifically, you know, we liked Heyward Bey. He was definitely making progress. You know, you saw what he did 2011. He actually increased his touchdown total in 2012 despite missing time and was a very quality receiver for them. He's never going to be a number one guy, never going to live up to his draft status, so you can throw that out the window. But just in terms of what he was as a player for the Raiders, a deep threat, which every team loves to have a deep threat. It's why it was a good fit for the Colts to go out and get Heyward Bey. You know, it's unfortunate they have to get rid of that guy because of the salary cap structure from the year before, the regime before, excuse me.
I'm wrong about Allen.
Tim, Woody, or Bruce?
All of them. But there was some other connection with the Raiders and Matt Flynn. All right,
you mean
whatever.
Bad player, bad team?
I don't know why you could just say Matt Flynn is a bad player. I mean, you're probably being a little sarcastic there. But I don't know why you're just dismissing it right now.
To be honest, no one can say with certainty that they know.
Yeah, okay, that's
because you
fair.
Have well, you have a one-game sample size.
Two games.
Well, a one-game sample size of what he was in a dynamic game, you know, where you saw him do everything that he could possibly do. The Patriots game was okay. The Lions game was clearly everything. The
Patriots game was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So two-game sample size of what he was.
Right. But you can't do that every week, and you certainly can't do that with what he's going to throw to in Oakland.
Absolutely. And there's
it's a completely different,
you know, and the biggest indictment on him to me is Russell Wilson played much better than him in training camp last year. Now, Flynn was injured and didn't get the opportunity to completely showcase his skills or his opportunity. But based on what they paid him, the investment that they made in him, and the fact that he did not even get the benefit of the doubt to go out there and prove that he was worth that investment, when Russell Wilson, again, played much better than him in training camp, injury played a role in that, but still, that they didn't even give him a chance. I think if it's close again with Terrell Pryor, remember, this coaching staff, they know Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor has done everything this offseason to try and prove that he could be the guy, hiring all these quarterback coaches, trying to make sure that he can improve. He does not have a good arm. That's clear. If you look at Terrell Pryor throw the ball, he did not have a good passing game in that game against the Chargers when he got the opportunity to start. But what the NFL is right now, with athletic quarterbacks who could throw a little bit, and Terrell Pryor could throw a little bit, probably could throw just as well as Matt Flynn when you compare apples to apples. He has an opportunity, I think, if he has a good enough training camp, they invested in Matt Flynn. They didn't invest a ton in Matt Flynn. And this team has to win. And so if Terrell Pryor gives them the best opportunity to win, almost won that game against San Diego, we'll see what happens. Fantasy-wise, Terrell Pryor is leaps and bounds ahead of Matt Flynn.
Fantasy-wise, yeah. We just spent 4 minutes on two players that no one's going to draft.
By the way, I know what it was. It was that Dennis Allen compared Flynn to Matt Schaub, who blossomed after he was a backup behind Michael Vick.
Oh, yeah, it's a great connection.
Allen worked.
That's just
Allen
like was Reggie McKenzie scouting him.
He was an assistant in Atlanta when Matt Schaub was there. That's what it was. Okay, we're moving on. Carson Palmer to the Cardinals for a conditional 2014 pick. And also, there are some swaps there. Great move for who?
For Palmer and for the Cardinals.
All right, so who's moving up in the rankings, or who are you at least considering moving up in the rankings?
Well, Larry Fitzgerald, clearly.
I don't know if I'm necessarily moving him up much higher, but I want him a lot more now than I did a week ago.
I moved Michael Floyd up a ton, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good sleeper.
Bruce Arians, first of all, was going to help Larry Fitzgerald improve. So if it was Drew Stanton, or if it was Brian Hoyer, or if they were going to draft somebody, this team was going to get better from a passing standpoint because Bruce Arians is a good passing offense coordinator, likes a downfield vertical threat, likes to put the ball in the air. We saw Andrew Luck play great last year. We saw Ben Roethlisberger play great. Everywhere Arians has been, the quarterback play has been good. And so he was going to make that team better just from a passing standpoint. Now you get a guy who, you can listen to all the different reports. Is his arm in terms of Palmer? Is the elbow bad? Can he still get the ball down the field?
Yes.
He's 33 years old. You know what? He still can. And if you look at his games last year, I think, Adam, I know I said this to you on last week's show. I don't have it in front of me. But I think he started 14 games last year. He missed two after he got blown up by somebody.
It's either 14 or 15 games.
Yeah, of those 14 games, I think 11, he was 18 fantasy points or better. So that's pretty good. It's not exactly...
On Palmer and the points, yeah.
I know you're having an internet problem.
I have that information away from
me. It's not exactly like he's in the upper echelon of quarterback, but he now has the best receiver that he's ever played with in Larry Fitzgerald, who's coming off the worst year of his career. And this, I do remember, he was the number 41 fantasy receiver in terms of fantasy points, Larry Fitzgerald last year. He was number 7 in targets. Those numbers don't match up.
Mm-hmm.
So if the targets stay the same, he's going to put up big numbers this year because he has a quarterback that's going to be much better and certainly better than anybody's ever played.
You guys have him in your top 12, 11th for Jameis.
Yeah, I had him 19 prior to the Palmer move. So
there were 10 games last year where Carson Palmer had at least 18 fantasy points.
I thought it was 11, but I can go back.
Yeah, and it looks like he missed just week 17 and got hurt in week 16. He averaged 17.2 fantasy points per game, 6 games with 20 or more fantasy points. And that's with Oakland. And that's
he was over 4,000 yards. He had a
very suspect.
He was over 20 touchdowns. And so it's not like you're looking at a horrible player.
Yeah,
now, granted, he's facing now much tougher defenses because San Francisco and Seattle, those four games are going to be brutal. And if that offensive line, they led the NFL in sacks allowed last year with 58. So that's where Bruce Arians has to work his magic.
Right.
The Bills signed Kevin Cobb to a 2-year contract.
Hold on a second. Quickly, because I think Palmer is more important than Cobb.
Yeah.
Do you think for a second that Carson Palmer is draftable? And I think he could be in the conversation with one of your late picks as a number 2 quarterback. And we're talking about 15, 16 rounds, more than that. You got yourself a stud quarterback within the first 4 rounds. Palmer's a guy you can add late. And if you're in a league that doesn't see Palmer get drafted, he's easily a guy to target off the waiver wire once the season gets going, because I don't see many games on Arizona's schedule where they're going to be ahead and handing off the ball. Not to mention games where the running game is going to take over. There might be a couple where Mendenhall's
going to have a good year.
I think he'll have a pretty good year too, but I don't know if there's going to be a lot of games where he gets over 15 carries.
Yeah, but let's also keep in mind, Arizona's defense is still very good.
It's all right. I don't like that they lost their coordinator. Losing Ray Horton, I think, is going to hurt him a little bit.
Well, the thing with Palmer is he throws so many interceptions.
I think they're going to be in a lot of competitive games.
Yes.
I think they're probably like a 7-win team, but they'll have a chance to win like 10 games. And they're going to have to throw a lot.
Yeah, but
so that's why I really like Fitzgerald. Really like him.
Palmer's been a bit of a disappointment for most of his career.
Since the ACL injury.
Which was pretty early in his career, right?
Yeah. In his playing career, anyway.
So if you have, if you have them as a 7-win team, I don't know if
No one's talking about Arizona making the playoffs. But if you're talking fantasy purposes, putting up some stats,
Sure.
I mean, Palmer threw for 4,000 yards last year.
If he was a borderline, you know, if he was a decent backup last year, no reason why he wouldn't be one this year.
Exactly. His receiving core is better. The offense he'll run will be much better for him. Just the offensive line. That's ugly. It's very ugly.
The Bills signed Kevin Cobb to a 2-year contract.
Yay!
Hooray!
Steve Johnson impact?
Downgrade.
Yeah, well, first of all, does anybody think that Kevin Cobb is going to last 16 games to help Stevie?
Well, he hasn't made it through two seasons when he was a starter for
the worst offensive line of football.
Yeah, and the Bills just lost an offensive lineman this offseason.
Right. But it still won't be bad. Buffalo's offensive line will be fairly
middling. Right, and again, his schedule gets better because he leaves that division. Mm-hmm. I think you know, if you're looking at it, I'm curious to see if Doug Marrone's going to stand true to his word, which was when they re-signed Tavares Jackson, that it was going to be an open quarterback competition. We know they're going to draft somebody. I mean,
if they get Nassib, everything changes.
Yeah, but the report that I read when they signed Cobb was, even if they draft somebody, including Nassib, Cobb's the guy that's going to bridge the gap for them. You know, whether it's a 6-game gap, whether it's 16-game gap, you know, right. However that works out. I don't know if they'll start Nassib from week one, but you go back to the Dolphins, for example, last year, drafted Tannehill early. The thought was David Garrard would be the starter from week one there. He gets hurt in training camp, and Tannehill gets the job. So it could be a very similar situation.
Steve Johnson with Fitzpatrick, you could almost pencil him in for just over 1,000 yards and 7-8 touchdowns.
Right.
I think he might have a hard time getting there this year.
I disagree. Because they're going to move him in the slot. They're going to move him around. And so it's going to give him an opportunity to sort of be a little bit more involved, especially with a West Coast offense where he could touch the ball a little bit more. So if his catches go up, his yards could go up, maybe score.
Yeah, but is he really known as a yards after the catch guy?
No, but again, he's also been a guy that's been blanketed on the outside by Darrell Revis twice. I know he did great against Revis, mm-hmm. but he's faced a lot of the premier cornerbacks. If he's being moved around a little bit, shuffled around, you don't know where he's going to line up. And again, in a little bit more creative offense, Chan Gailey was very good, but maybe we'll see if this new offense, the coordinator is escaping me.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, Nathaniel.
Well, you said downgrade.
It's a downgrade quarterback-wise.
Oh, okay.
If the over-under is 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns.
To agree with Dave, I think he stays the same numbers-wise. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
The opportunity could be there for him to be a little more.
If I was confusing. Last but not least, C.J. Spiller. I don't know if this changes anybody's mind on him. It doesn't change my mind at all.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed Steve Smith, the one who used to be good.
See, the biggest issue here is how do we differentiate between Steve Smith South and Steve Smith now, the other Steve Smith South?
That's true.
So before, when he played in St. Louis, he was Steve Smith West. When he played in New York, he was Steve Smith North.
Yeah.
So now I think we're just going to call him Steve Smith Knee.
Okay.
Now and the other one will still be Steve Smith South.
The good thing is he's being reunited with Mike Sullivan. And he's right now could be third on their depth chart. Could be their slot guy. I mean, their depth at wide receiver is very thin.
Buckle up for the battle for the number three receiver position between Tequan Underwood, Kevin Ogletree, and Steve Smith Knee.
Darius Hayward Bay is a Colt.
Love this move.
So his production.
I love it for Andrew Luck.
I hate it.
Let me just read his stats real quick.
You hate it?
Yes, because the two teams he was choosing between.
Between them and Detroit?
I would have loved him much better in Detroit.
Well, for him, sure. But for Andrew Luck? Yeah, well, I think Stafford's going to have a monster year anyway.
Stafford doesn't need the help. All right. Just in case you have forgotten, Darius Hayward Bay was the number 29 wide receiver in standard leagues in 2011. 64 catches that year, 975 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That dropped to 41 catches, 606 yards, and 5 touchdowns in 2012.
Ugh.
So he was certainly fantasy relevant in 2011. And now he's with the Colts. And, I mean, Andrew Luck.
And you remember when he picked up in 2011 was right after the Carson Palmer trade.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, would you guys think this is good for Andrew Luck?
I think it's great for Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I mean, just this Indianapolis offense now could really be very scary for defensive coordinators because not only do you have to worry about Reggie Wayne, who doesn't necessarily have great speed, but certainly a threat with his route running and everything else. T.Y. Hilton's going to come into his own again this year. Really, really like his prospects. Great deep speed there. And now Hayward Bay still is fast. And he's got size to him too. So I don't think he's going to get a lot of opportunities, especially compared to what he had in 2011 with Oakland. I don't think he's going to get that kind of opportunity, but he's going to have some games where he catches, you know, a 40-yard touchdown or three catches 101 yards and no touchdown. He's going to be a bye week guy.
His catches will likely remain the same as last year. His yards are going to go up.
Yep.
And his touchdowns are probably going to remain the same.
Did you move Andrew Luck up?
No.
No, but, I mean, you take a great quarterback and you add another weapon for him. I don't know how defenses are going to slow down Indianapolis at all.
You forgot especially to mention tight ends, too.
Yeah, well, that's another part of the reason why.
You both have Andrew Luck 11th.
Now, the one thing is they are changing to a West Coast scheme, which is a little
nerve-wracking. If you look at our quarterback rankings, I think we're all kind of similar in that 8 to 12 range. I think if you look at Luck versus Romo, that's probably a decision that some owners will have to make. Do you want to go in with what you know of Tony Romo or what you could potentially get from Andrew Luck? You know, that's something I think people would have to weigh. You know, and then do you buy into, you know, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, or Andrew Luck?
And then you look at Luck, who completed like 55% of his passes last year. It was horrible. But I think that's just kind of what Bruce Arians does in his offense, is just a lot of hucking and chucking. And so you're going to miss a lot. Whereas now the West Coast scheme, that Luck might even favor for all I know. You're going to see that completion percentage go up significantly. A lot of weapons for him.
Now, we just told you that Darius Heyward-Bey was the number 29 wide receiver in 2011. Did you know that Fred Davis was the number 12 tight end in 2011, and he only played in 12 games?
He was great that year.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he caught 50. Oh, this is a cool stat. He caught 15 passes of 20 yards or more in 2011 in 12 games. That's pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. So now he's back to the Redskins. What do you guys think?
You know, we talked about this a little bit, like with Jared Cook and Martellus Bennett, and you know, then you factor in Brandon Pettigrew and JaMychal Finley and Jermaine Gresham. That group of tight ends, you know, when you get past really the top 10 or so guys, it's sort of a mixed bag of any of them really could step up and emerge as really a number one option next year. And you know, you factor in a Dwayne Allen from the Colts into that group as well. I don't think anybody's drafting Fred Davis to be a starting option in a 12-team league, but he's going to probably have a week or two where he looks great. And you'll pick him up off the waiver wire. He may be your bye week guy, and you just got to hope that the matchup's good. But he didn't look very good last year with Robert Griffin III. You know, Dave pointed that out very astutely early on, and you know it played out before he got hurt. So we'll see if that rapport gets a little bit better. The Redskins really never had their receiving core together because Garcon got hurt after week one, and then Fred Davis got hurt before Garcon got back. So we'll see, you know, if that whole group, you know, when you get Garcon and you get Davis and you get Santana Moss and you get maybe Roy Helu out of the backfield, you know, because Alfred Morris not really a receiver, it could do wonders if Griffin is healthy. But I just don't buy into Fred Davis as anybody you're going to draft as a top 12 guy. I mean, I just don't see it.
Yeah, okay. Late round material, if at all.
Colt McCoy to the 49ers, Pat White to the Redskins. Cool.
Yeah, no one cares.
The South Florida Sun Sentinel reports that Dolphins coaches are concerned about Daniel Thomas's durability if he is given a short yardage or goal line role, and the Sentinel suggests that the team will add at least one other back in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everything's coming up roses for Lamar Miller. Just the opportunity
that's
ahead.
That depends on the draft.
Sure. I mean, but I don't see the Dolphins. First of all, I see them moving up in round one. Might cost them one of their next four picks, and they have a lot of picks. I don't know if they're going to run out and get another running back to completely obliterate Daniel Thomas's role. We'll see what they do. It depends on who they add. There are a lot of good backs that are going to be available round three, round four in the draft this year, and some will make an impact. But I think they're all in on Lamar Miller and his versatility, his ability to run between the tackles. A high rushing average they're going to expect from him this year. And I'm telling you, all it's going to take is a couple of good updates that we write this fall, a couple of nice plays in the preseason, and everybody's going to start reaching for Lamar Miller in round three.
What was the poll that you put on Twitter?
Yeah, I said, you know, who would you take if you were drafting right now as your number two running back? Would you rather have David Wilson or Lamar Miller? It was pretty much 2-1 in favor of Wilson. But a lot of that was because no one's really seen Lamar Miller. I mean, you really didn't get a lot of opportunities to watch Lamar Miller play. You saw David Wilson the way he closed the year, clearly. You know, you look at draft status, New York market, that factors into it as well.
Oh, we saw Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I was about to say,
here.
We've seen Lamar Miller play.
Yeah, you guys have.
Then I would go with Lamar Miller.
Yeah, you know,
I would also go with Lamar
Miller. Yeah, really? I think just right now there's a little bit more upside with Lamar Miller because the Andre Brown factor. You know, you look at David Wilson and what he's capable of. If there was no Andre Brown, I think I would go with David Wilson. If Andre Brown was not, no way.
Completely agree.
You know, so that's sort of the biggest
right.
Attractor
the opportunity
there.
Is much bigger for Lamar.
The one thing you have to sort of weigh is can Andre Brown stay healthy? And if he goes down early in the year, David Wilson probably will have better stats on Lamar Miller. So, you know, they're very similar skill set. They're very a similar upside. It's just, again, you know, what will the Dolphins add to sort of take away from Lamar Miller? And that's, I think, what will determine, you know, who you like more.
And I think one of the fun ideas that we can put into people's heads is if you take Calvin or Gronk in round one, maybe round three, round four. Remember, you're going to be picking pretty close to each other in round three and round four. Let's say you pick 10th overall and you get one of those two guys that are not a running back.
Yeah.
Basically, you go non-running back in round one. Getting Miller and Wilson on your fantasy team, round three, round four, I think that that could really pay off in spades for
you. And then you may want to reach for Andre Brown round five.
Really tested my loyalties with that David Wilson
for you.
Or Lamar Miller
question.
My alma mater and my favorite football
As for Daniel Thomas, he's late round material right now.
If he's number two.
Can I just say I had the worst.
He kind of plays like number two.
I had the worst time at the Sweet 16.
Dude, that game was a nightmare.
I flew up the day of the game for Miami Marquette. I had the worst time. It was so boring, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Because 85% of the stadium, 80% of the stadium was either
empty.
Syracuse or Indiana. No, no, it filled up by halftime.
Right.
But everybody was rooting for either Syracuse or Indiana.
Right.
So the Miami and Marquette fans were so outnumbered, and it was basically like playing in front of nobody who cared. And the game was it was the worst. At least we were in D.C.
I'm proud of you for going
Thank
and being
you.
There. And being
what time did you? What part of the game did you leave for Stadium?
No, I stayed to the end. And then I was going to stay for the Syracuse-Indiana game, but I was like, forget it.
Yeah,
I'm going home.
I was
so mad.
I'm still mad.
Yeah,
that game was boring, too.
Yeah, I know. It was a pretty lame round of games other than Kansas-Michigan.
What else do you want to talk about, Adam?
I'm just glad that
I do want to talk about how I have three of my four. He played three double-digit seeds. Hey. Get out of here. Three of my four Final Four selections are still alive.
Really?
Yes.
In your 10-person pool?
No, it doesn't matter. I still got three out of four.
That's impressive.
If I were in the CBS Interactive pool with like 800 people or whatever, I'd be in fifth place.
What would be more impressive?
That you could have done on your own.
What would be more
my
impressive?
Bracket didn't
Hello. Is if Wichita State was one of your picks.
It wasn't.
Of course not. No one picked them except for people in Wichita.
All right. MJD has started jogging, according to the AP, but he's a ways away from running full
speed. All that matters is that he opens camp on time and that there are no setbacks. When that happens, that's when we'll feel better about MJD.
Dwayne Bowe, what is this note about Dwayne Bowe?
He said he's a top five receiver in the NFL.
I disagree.
I think most people disagree.
Is he a top five receiver in his division? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah. Well, he's the fourth best on the Broncos.
Yeah, he's already fourth at best.
I think that's where he
but that's it.
Fills in.
He's number five.
I'd take him over Denario.
Yeah.
Okay, tweets and emails. Brian Nelson, what kind of number should we expect this season from a healthy Greg Jennings?
Not good.
I think he's going to be a terrific possession receiver. Lots of catches. Moderate yardage, 6-7 touchdowns maybe. But he's a number three guy.
Maybe he stays healthy.
Yeah, that's kind of a small, minor detail there.
Ready? Bryce Leisimer.
You're the one trying to talk over us.
I can't tell when you're done sometimes.
I don't know when I'm done.
Yeah, it's like I think you're done and then a new sentence comes.
You know, Greg Jennings did have four touchdowns in his last four games last year.
How does Colts signing DHB affect T.Y. Hilton's value? Good question.
I would rewind this podcast
we didn't really get into that.
Yeah, there's two different reports. ESPN, I believe it's ESPN South blogger, thinks that he's clearly number three behind Wayne and Hilton. I would agree. I believe it's the Indianapolis Star reported that he's going to alternate snaps with Hilton. That Hayward Bay and Hilton will alternate snaps.
Guess what?
I don't see that happening.
We're not going to know until training camp really gets going, but I'm with you, Jamie. I think Hilton's the one to get, not DHB.
Andy Kay, does Atlanta continue to be pass-heavy next season, or will they run the ball more with Steven Jackson?
I mean, we covered this 2 weeks ago, you know, in my conversation with Mike Smith, where he's, you know, what do you think about, or how excited are you about signing Steven Jackson? He can catch, we can throw, he can catch, we can throw, you know, so he just adds a new wrinkle. They're going to still run the ball. It's not like they didn't run the ball last year with Michael Turner.
Yeah,
so.
Turner had over 200 carries, I want to say 222. Check on that, Adam, see if that's right. I don't know how many carries Quiz had, but I bet Steven Jackson gets close to 250 carries this year.
Does All right, what's your final guess, Dave? 222?
222 on Michael Turner.
Jamie, you want to throw a guess out there?
223.
I'll go 221.
And the winner is
the answer. You got it. Dave, you win.
Yes. I know my Michael Turner.
Wow. 222 for 800 yards.
Yeah. He's terrible.
10 rushing touchdowns and a receiving touchdown.
5 rushes over 20 yards.
More than Jacquizz Rodgers, by the way. That's your Atlanta fun fact of the day.
How about that?
Steven Jackson had more than both of them.
This question's great.
Jason Barron, should Mike Rice be considered a sleeper at the quarterback position in the upcoming draft?
No, he throws the ball at people's feet. I mean,
yeah, yeah. I was thinking more like...
But the Cardinals were interested in him until they traded for Palmer.
He'd be great in the dodgeball league.
He's a jerk, man. That was crazy.
I can't believe none of those players at Rutgers stood up for themselves and said, hey, stop. Please?
I agree. That's crazy. Clark Addison, I need two keepers in a non-PPR format from Matt Ryan, Colin Kaepernick, Denario Alexander, Reggie Wayne, Aaron Hernandez, Cecil Shorts, Bryce Brown, and Clivery.
That would be Chris
Ivory. Chris Ivory. All right, again, we need two non-PPR. Matt Ryan, Colin Kaepernick, Denario Alexander, Reggie Wayne, Aaron Hernandez, Cecil Shorts, Bryce Brown, Chris Ivory.
I want to say keep both quarterbacks.
I know.
That's not the way to go.
I mean, maybe Clark could work out a deal before he declares his keepers where he trades Kaepernick for a running back.
Or Ryan.
A wide receiver, sure.
You know, if you project Kaepernick's stats over 16 games,
oh, yeah,
he's the number one quarterback in fantasy football roster.
Number one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Does that include postseason stats as part of
just regular season?
Yeah.
Goodness.
He was pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
He was pretty amazing. It's going to be interesting to see how defenses defend him next year.
Cannot wait to see how defenses adjust. All right, what's the answer here?
The problem is if you throw back Kaepernick, obviously you would do that because you don't need him. You've got Matt Ryan if you choose to keep Matt Ryan.
I just wonder what the compensation is. You know, do you lose draft picks?
Assuming it's just you keep a player and you don't lose anything. I don't know. I guess you go with Hernandez.
Yeah, it's one of the quarterbacks in Hernandez. Yeah. And also, you know, what's the keeper ramifications? You know, can you keep them forever?
Right. Well, we don't know.
We just don't know.
How many characters on Twitter?
140.
222.
140?
Yes. How do you not know?
Not enough characters.
You're Mr. Twitter with all your followers.
I'm so anti-Twitter now.
Why? Because you lost your followers?
Because I've gained so many, and then I lose them, and it's like I just want to know how many damn followers I have.
You're cursing?
Why do you care?
I don't care.
You should see yourself. Of course
I don't,
you care.
I didn't like
you
having...
You should be focused on providing good information, fun facts, or just
he does that,
otherwise
though.
Being clever on Twitter.
I was very clever.
Providing people with links. Now you're going to tell me about all the great tweets you've sent out.
All right.
Look at him wheel around in his chair over to
this was my latest one.
You're a much
one.
Better tweeter than you are, Dresser.
Mike Rice, quote, "Now you're all in big, big trouble." Hashtag Billy Madison. That's funny, right?
I just laughed.
Okay, good.
And that was a genuine laugh.
Here's Nerdy Pete from Chicago. Good day, Michael, Sonny, and Fredo.
Please tell me you know that.
I know that one. Braveheart, right?
That's right.
Granted, you have to be fluid in your draft to be able to adjust accordingly, but when drafting in a PPR league, do you plan or aim towards filling that flex spot with a wide receiver?
Full point PPR, I don't have a problem making it a wide receiver.
Depends who it is.
If your roster was 16 slots and you were starting one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end, kicker, defense, and a flex, which could be a running back, wide receiver, or tight end, so pretty standard, how would you allocate the slots on your roster? Like two quarterbacks, 5 to 6 running backs, 4 to 6 wide receivers. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Depends on who. It all depends on what you do at quarterback and tight end. And if you manage to pull, you know, a great quarterback and a great tight end, that frees up other spots for running backs, receivers. You're only going to take one kicker. You're only going to take one DST. So, you know, ideally for me, I'm going to spend one roster spot on a quarterback, a tight end, a kicker, and a defense. That leaves me with 12 slots for running backs and receivers. In a PPR, wouldn't surprise me one bit if I went 6 and 6, but I'd probably aim for 7 and 5, 7 running backs and 5 wide receivers.
Agree?
Yeah, I never really draft backup quarterbacks, but there are so many good ones this year that I feel like I might have to.
But why would you have to? That's
because I think they're all going to be taken.
It depends on what you do at quarterback. It really depends on what you do.
I think this year they're all going to be taken. Like I think at some point I'm not talking about Carson Palmer. I'm talking about
How about RG3?
Yeah, exactly. Guys like
Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger.
Eli Manning,
Blaine Gabbert.
They're only 13 deep.
Just kidding.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think it's going to be smart to take another quarterback with all of the young guns.
Yes. Wilson needs one.
Kaepernick
needs one.
RG3, you're going to want one.
RG3, I mean.
I think with Andrew Luck, you're going to want one. At least to start the season, you're going to want to have another guy.
Depends how the draft goes. If I'm sitting there and it's just continuing to go on, and all these guys are still sitting. You know, if Jay Cutler just continues to sit there, if Flacco continues to sit there, if Philip Rivers,
what round are you talking about?
I'm talking about 12, 13, 14, and all these guys are still there. I'm not going to draft one.
I'd probably leave him. Yeah,
right. Would. Because you can go and pick him up off waivers.
Absolutely.
But if I have a quarterback,
you got to look at every year. There's somebody who emerges that was not drafted.
Right.
Every year.
But if I have a quarterback already, and Robert Griffin III falls to like the 9th or 10th round,
that's a no-brainer. Yeah. A guy who could be a difference maker is a no-brainer. But we're talking about past those 13, 14.
Right. You're not going to think same way about Joe Flacco.
But if Eli Manning falls to the 10th round or something,
no-brainer.
Yeah, you take him, right?
Yes. You got to think about
maybe.
Matt Schaub is probably not going to get drafted this year. Carson Palmer is probably not going to get drafted this year. Philip Rivers may not get drafted.
Josh Freeman.
Michael Vick may not get drafted this year.
That would be an interesting
one.
I think Vick's going to get drafted.
These are all guys. I'm not disagreeing with you, but these are all guys that people are going to say, I don't really need him if I drafted Brady or Manning, Peyton, or Breeze, or any of those guys. And it's going to start to, you know, we always say, you draft the top three guys, and now it's top four with Peyton. Don't worry about a number two guy. Well, now it's, do you need a number two guy with Stafford? Do you need a number two guy with Ryan? Do you need number two guys with these
It's not necessarily about that, though. It's about potentially for me, it'd be more about looking at a guy in the 13th round or whatever, like a Michael Vick. Maybe that's a bad example. But a guy that you're sitting there looking at, and maybe he could be a great player, and even if you don't need him, you don't want to let him go to waste to draft a fifth wide receiver.
I'm glad you brought it up, though, because what do you do with him? Let's say you go ahead. Yeah, but this
Most
is a problem that a lot of people had last year. I had Matt Ryan and RG3 on my team all year. I couldn't get anything close to fair for Robert Griffin III.
But at the very least, you're not going against Robert Griffin III every week then.
Super.
Yeah, but he's handcuffed and trying to pick somebody else up.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to sit on my roster. And if I've only got 5 bench spots, having
especially
that other quarterback
those
means
weeks
there's
when
only
you
four.
If you like your defense, you don't want to cut your defense. You like your kicker, you don't want to cut your kicker.
Right, and I mean, these are like, this is small-time things. But if you go and you draft a second quarterback with the thought of, aha, if he's good, I'm going to be able to trade him. Well, we just named 6 other quarterbacks that are going to be on waivers.
I mean,
could equally break out and be productive.
We talked about Carson Palmer and what his potential could be. Probably not going to get drafted. Think about what the Dolphins put around Ryan Tannehill. If he somehow blossoms into a guy that could do that. In a wacky world, Terrell Pryor or Matt Flynn become Carson Palmer last year. You know,
15th round of a draft, and you have Matthew Stafford. You're not going to take a shot on Ryan Tannehill.
Not if there's
it depends
all those
on how
other
many
guys
rounds,
there.
Too.
16 round draft.
Not if all those other guys are there.
I really don't think so.
Okay, now you have to see the landscape.
Now here's one last point. If you're sitting, listening, or standing, and you're thinking
and not listening,
hopefully they're listening, and you like the idea of having that second quarterback, maybe you just float the idea to your commissioner. Hey, let's go an extra round this year. So instead of having 16 spots, let's have 17 spots.
Well, now you're that guy.
I am that guy, but I'm doing it for a reason. I'm doing it because the more roster space I have, the more opportunities I have to pick that player that could become something, and then that opens the door to taking a quarterback, no matter who your first quarterback is.
Austin in a West Georgia city. Now, this is a cool question.
We're going to go with Athens.
That for some is that West Georgia?
I don't know. My internet's not working.
That's how he knows the cities. He has the maps up, huh?
Well, when you want specific locations.
Okay. This is a question. I don't know that we get this too much, but it's interesting. For the sake of simplicity, let's say a 10-team standard league. I know that the order of players that should come off the board in the first round would be 9 running backs and Calvin. However, I need some help in how to take advantage of a draft if this doesn't happen. Let's say 4 teams draft quarterbacks in the first round.
That'll happen.
What should I do in the later rounds? Should I go for running backs that should have been first-round picks, or should I switch the quarterbacks since they're leaving the board faster now? Basically, help me with the on-the-fly draft strategies to take advantage of other teams' mistakes.
Yeah, I really wouldn't change anything. If Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, and Peyton are off the board in round one, and you're in a 10-team league, you're guaranteed to get a great quarterback round 5, round 6. I mean, this is supply and demand. The people who take a quarterback in round one, you better be in a 2-quarterback league. And if you're not, you're ignoring the whole supply and demand thing. Mm-hmm. Because in a league with a bunch of smart people, you're going to be able to get one of those quarterbacks in round two.
So just consider yourself lucky. You're going to be able to get two of those top nine running backs.
That pushes back all those running backs. It pushes Calvin back and Gronk back to round two. You're going to load up. And later on this year, those guys in that league, they're going to have great quarterbacks. But you're gonna leave your draft feeling so good about the rest of your team, and you're gonna feel good about your quarterback because you're gonna get Matthew Stafford in round four.
Well,
in round four.
It's not even that. I mean, you can get, if you really want an elite type quarterback, Cam Newton will probably be there early round three.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Bob in Brighton, Mississippi, Michigan.
That would be MI is Michigan, Adam.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, hey, they're
MS is Mississippi.
I remember now. They're my final four. Give me that at least. Dear Joel Crow and Tom Servo.
No idea.
I don't know.
Apparently it's Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Ooh. Okay. That's right.
12-team flex.
I remember Crow.
Of course I looked it up. That's why I said apparently. 12-team flex, half-point PPR, one keeper. All would cost me a 12th-round keeper. Bilal Powell, Kyle Rudolph, Marcel Reese, Robert Turbin. Yak, 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 yak.
There's only two guys here who have potential starting options for me. It's Powell and Rudolph. And I think Powell's got more upside than Mike Goodson by a lot.
So I guess I should have yacked.
I'm going to gamble on Powell.
Rudolph, the purple-helmeted Viking.
Very good.
Is who you would take here, Bob, in Brighton, Michigan, not Mississippi.
I'm going to go Powell. I just think starting running backs are hard to find.
I think Mike Goodson's a great sleeper this year.
Yeah,
I don't see it with Bilal Powell. I think Powell's a pretty good fit for the West Coast offense.
I don't think Mike Goodson can
stay healthy. That's an issue. I'll give you that. But I think there's way more upside in Goodson than there is in Powell.
Here's Scott.
I don't think Powell's exciting.
I don't think Goodson's exciting.
Scott in a city in Austria that rhymes with Siena. Dave, you want to look it up?
Let's go with Vienna.
There you go. 12-team standard league. Each of the 12 teams can keep two players from the previous season. The two players you keep occupy their projected average draft position during the week the draft takes place. Wow, that's cool. I like that. Two projected first-rounders simply take the first and second-round slots in your draft. Here are my possible keepers. Drew Brees, Colin Kaepernick, Alfred Morris, C.J. Spiller, Maurice Jones-Drew, Ben Tate, Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Myers, and Aaron Hernandez. Wait, how does he have all those guys?
He's awesome.
Hell of a team.
That is a hell of a team.
Yeah, he must have either made some trades or his keepers the previous year were amazing.
Right.
Somebody could have cut Maurice Jones-Drew.
He could have drafted this team, Breeze won, then
Calvin
and Green. I don't know how he got MJD.
Green wasn't a third-round pick last year. Well, he could have been.
He could have snuck MJD on the roster in round four.
Alfred Morris and
Spiller. Alf was a late round pick. Spiller was a mid round pick.
Could have been cut.
Yeah,
it's possible too.
Okay, give me the two you'd keep there.
This is a really interesting way to keep keepers because it's based on draft averages.
Well, the guys who are definite first round picks next year for sure: C.J. Spiller, Calvin, and probably Alfred Morris.
Yeah, I think you got to go with Spiller and Calvin.
I'd go Spiller and Calvin, but I wouldn't be opposed to Spiller and Morris.
Yeah.
I guess in this instance, if you keep two guys that would cost first-round picks,
you lose your first and second-round
picks. Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing would be is if you're looking for late-round value. But I just don't see you giving.
Yeah, the late-round guys here, I mean, Hilton would qualify.
Like you could cross off.
I don't know how people are going to react to MJD. And
if he's in training camp and he's okay, he's going no later than the third round.
Right. Like if you can get him for a fourth round pick, I think that's pretty good value. But I don't know if I would take that over Spiller, Alf, or Calvin.
Yeah.
I think you're just good to go with Spiller and Calvin.
All right, friends.
Wait for round three. Spiller and Morris, though. I mean, two top 10 running backs are hard to give up.
Jamie.
Not when one of them is Calvin Johnson, though.
Calvin's great.
He is.
Calvin's great. But Alfred Morris had 1,500 yards and 13 touchdowns last year.
I think he had more than that. He was pretty awesome.
Must I look it up?
No.
What's your question for me?
What was more impressive last night? Carmelo Anthony's 50 points or Kobe's triple-double?
I didn't see a second of Kobe's triple-double.
Doesn't matter. It's just triple-double or 50 points.
How many points did Kobe have?
He was over 20. I mean, I don't know how much he...
I would say a triple-double. I don't know. Actually, Carmelo was like seven of 10 from three.
Carmelo was amazing last night.
Yeah, he was pretty ridiculous.
Granted, he was playing against a JV team, but he was amazing.
But he was still playing against Shane Battier. Guy can guard.
Yeah, but they would have put LeBron on him at some point.
Thank God this is happening at the end of the podcast, not the beginning. Because if it was happening at the beginning of the podcast, I would have an absolute coronary.
I saved it.
We know, Dave. We know. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That was a fun show.
We had a good show. This was a lot of fun. And you know what? We can start talking draft a little bit. So if you've got questions about some of the prospects in this year's draft and where they might fit into fantasy, start sending that stuff in.
For Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you next week.